A Saturday, just after Radio Chatskill and before Catskill Character.
This week in This American Life, who do you guys think is going to have the highest score?
I'm going to go with Jane.
Jane.
Our staff heard that there's a test that could literally measure whether or not you're a psychopath. So we took it, and we tried to predict who would score the highest.
I'm going to go Robin.
I'm saying Robin, too. Well, now I'm going to change mine to Robin, actually.
I know. I think I'm the dark horse. I do. I kind of think it's me.
This week.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome to the local edition, local news and information, conversations to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm Jason Dolt. I'll be your host. And we've got the latest unemployment numbers for our listening area. We're going to find out what they are, how they stack up within the region, and how they compare to the unemployment numbers nationally. That'll be part of Work Shift Live with James B. Huntington coming up in the second part of the program. But first, it's Wednesday time once again for the River Reporter Weekly News Roundup. We're checking in with Liam Mayo from the River Reporter. Hello, Liam, how are you doing?
Hi, Jason. I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing good. Dodging raindrops and lightning bolts over here. It just got really dark. Like it's started raining again here, so it's time for the evening showers. What are you looking at? Has there been? I guess this isn't really in our notes here, but was there any complications from all the flash flood warnings that were coming out for Northeast Pennsylvania and Sullivan County, Delaware County area? Did you hear of any impacts?
There haven't been any complications that I've heard of. I was at the Calicoon Town Board meeting 2 days ago, and they were warning people to be very careful about driving home, especially about driving through areas where water had covered the road. The supervisor was repeating the slogan, "Turn around, don't drown," because if water is over the road, you don't know whether you're driving into 1 foot of water or 4 feet of water, and that can get very dangerous very quickly. But I haven't heard of any specific incidents happening in the county.
Okay, great. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure there's little extra water here and there, and I've heard like emergency sirens going up. I just wondering if there's anything major that you might have heard of. So that's good news there. So now, in terms of what else you're looking at in the news, Governor Cuomo announced that 3 gigawatts of solar have been installed statewide. What exactly does that mean, and does that impact us in our region?
Well, that means that New York is well on its way to becoming a carbon-neutral state, which I believe, I don't know if I got the exact terminology correct, but it's Governor Cuomo's goal to have the economy running mostly on renewables by 2040. And the intermediary goal is getting to 6 gigawatts of solar by 2025. So the fact that we've hit 3 by 2021 is well ahead of schedule. And as far as the impact on our region goes, the hitting of the milestone was announced in Bethel. Because the solar project there, the project along 17B, was the project that kind of got New York above that 3 gigawatt threshold.
Oh.
So Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul came, and Bethel Town Supervisor Daniel Sturm, and they did the ribbon cutting for the new solar arrays there.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So Sullivan County putting the state over the top in a good way.
Yeah.
Excellent. County legislature in Sullivan, by the way, they've been talking about the trash problem in the county. I, you know, I was concerned about this heading into the summer because it seemed to me that the transfer stations, that the there was another price hike at the transfer stations, and I was concerned, you know, are people just going to be abandoning their trash everywhere? Is that what this problem is, or is it bigger than that?
That seems to be what the problem is. A lot of what the legislators have been talking about for the past couple months is a combination of who's causing this problem and whose responsibility it is to clean up after it. There are a lot of people saying that the responsibility falls, or that the blame falls on people from the city who sort of come up and dump their trash here to avoid having to deal with it down there. But then there are other people who are saying, no, that's not really the case. It's a combination of people who live here full time and people who are sort of residents here, but they create their trash here and they just aren't as aware of local dumping regulations. So they just kind of try and get rid of it.
Well, it seems to me in either case, it's people dumping garbage. So what are they going to do about it, regardless of where exactly people are coming from with it?
Well, there are a couple initiatives in the works. The Sullivan County Legislature is partnering with the Upper Delaware Scenic Byway to put a couple of high-tech trash cans along the county. These trash cans go for about $6,000 apiece, but they have like inbuilt compaction systems, so you can dump a lot more trash in there than normal. They've got Wi-Fi capabilities, so they can tell the county when they need to be emptied, and they give free Wi-Fi in the surrounding area. So just a little bit of a Swiss Army knife of a gadget there.
All right.
And the county also says to just get in touch with the Department of Solid Waste and Recycling if you have any trash that you need to get rid of and aren't sure how to. Their number is 845-807-0290. They're also online at the Sullivan County website. And they say they can help with pretty much any situation, no matter what kind of trash needs to be getting rid of. Like, they're the people to talk to.
Well, it's always good to have more information, but I mean, this is, again, I can't just assume what the motives are, but before this even became this much of an issue, I was looking at this saying, like, you know, the county transfer station have odd days, they have minimal hours, they have an increased fee for the trash. I mean, all this is a county budgeting issue, and that translates into more people leaving garbage everywhere, so it'd be interesting if there was a way to find out, you know, because I don't think it's a matter of just people are ignorant of what can they do with the garbage. I think people get mad. I think people are like, well, I can't bring my garbage here, or they want to charge me more than I think I should, and they just do whatever. They don't even bother doing the right thing. So it'd be good if we could actually see if that was true. Some of that's just my assumptions, but I feel like I've encountered that out there, and it would be nice to know that the county was actually looking at this in the full breadth, full scope of what's actually going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and also sticking with the legislature, another long-term initiative that they've been working on is the broadband initiative. And they've started up the Sullivan County Broadband LDC. We've been following this right along. Where are they at right now?
Well, they're not quite at the stage where they're going to make everything public and let everybody know and start the process of actually getting people subscribed, but they are very, very close to that stage. They've recently held presentations at the Upper Delaware Council meetings and at the Sullivan County Legislature meetings, sort of laying out the concrete or the semi-concrete plan for getting broadband to the county, and they're starting testing of the first broadband tower, essentially, in Monticello, and apparently the testing has already been delayed somewhat. Apparently it was supposed to happen in July or sometime around then, and it's currently planned to be done throughout August. But as long as that goes in a somewhat timely fashion, residents in that tower's range in Monticello could start subscribing to their broadband service as early as the end of August.
Wow. Well, that's good news.
Yeah. And it'll take a little longer for that to come to the rest of the county. They're kind of working on these towers one by one. So as each tower individually gets worked on and complete, More and more residents across the county can sign up, but they're not looking at having the entire county covered until about 5 years from now.
Right. Okay. And they've been saying right along that it's going to take some time. So, but I guess whatever you can get out of the way on the front end, that's a good thing. Get people on board. You know, and part of the story, just a reminder for the listener, that part of the story that we've been following is the extent to which this has been a long ongoing issue, not just for our county, but for the wider region. But they've been looking at it for a while in the county, and the county employees and legislators have told us straight up that the advent of the pandemic last year really kicked this into high gear. It really compounded the incentive to really make something happen here. So it sounds like that's still what we're seeing as they make progress.
Yeah, and that's incredibly true that it is a major issue for the region as well. House Representative Antonio Delgado came to Bethel a couple of days ago to give a town hall, and that was one of the major issues on his mind then, not just for Sullivan County, but for his whole district in New York, as well as just rural areas in general. It's how the pandemic highlighted the need for broadband and how it highlighted how it really wasn't getting done and how the major broadband companies currently working privately in the areas just weren't getting that capability to people and weren't even really trying to get that capability to people.
And I think it also highlighted the positive side of this, the positive end of the need, which is there's a lot more people in the area because of the pandemic, and they're going to want that connectivity, which allows them to stay in this area and do whatever kind of remote working and everything else that they do with that connectivity. So it behooves everyone to get more connectivity so that these folks stick around and they just don't leave once the full effects of the pandemic have totally worn off.
Oh, for sure. It's essential for providing all of the services you've come to rely on both during the pandemic and beforehand. But it is also essential for growing the Sullivan County economy going forward and for building it up into a more modern, more resilient system.
Real quick, before we go, were you at that Delgado town hall?
Yeah. So he was a very, very impressive speaker.
What were you hearing from the people that attended? What were members of the public saying they're concerned about, if anything stuck out to you?
Concerned about voting rights legislation. I heard people concerned that new legislation was making it harder for people to vote, and I heard concerns that new legislation wasn't going far enough to ensure election security. So there are definitely both sides of that debate represented in Sullivan County. I heard people discuss agricultural issues, especially with dairy prices. And all the potential issues that could be done to resolve that. But a sort of general theme from it emerged as economies of cooperation versus economies of scale. In sort of a small area like this, it's about the smaller organizations and the smaller municipalities cooperating with each other and building up into a cooperative network supported by like the federal government and the state government and everything. But the regulations need to be in place to encourage that kind of cooperation, or else it'll just run up against the massive mega corporations of the rest of the country and the smaller cooperative organizations who maybe don't have the money for lobbyists or who maybe don't have the favor from the currently existing regulations. They
right.
just can't compete. So
right. Well, once again, sounds like the question of the moment is government. Will it work? You keep an eye on it and let us know if we still have a civil society when we check in with you next week. Leah Mayo from the River Reporter, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And the River Reporter, new edition for the week, comes out tomorrow. And Leah Mayo joins us every weekday, every Wednesday at this time here on the local edition. And you also hear his headlines on the weekend right here on Radio Catskill. Stay tuned. Work Shift Live is coming right up right here on the local edition.
Sound supporter donations are our favorite kind of gift because they're convenient both for you and Radio Catskill. Automatic, affordable monthly gifts from a credit or debit card. Sound supporters give us a dependable base of support for the programs you count on. It's safe and secure. Just go to wjffradio.org and click the donate button. Support Radio Catskill. Become a sound supporter now.
Your NPR station for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Radio Catskill, keeping you connected.
Well, at this time on a Wednesday evening on the local edition, we'd like to find out the latest on jobs and the economy around our area and around the country and around the world. To do that, we check in with James B. Huntington with WorkShift Live. Hello, James.
Good evening, Jason. Good evening, listeners.
And this is one of those editions of WorkShift Live that I look forward to when you've got some unemployment numbers, not just nationally, but right here in our listening area. Is that right?
Yes. The most recent data, which actually comes from May, is by county. And the unemployment rates for our listening area are Sullivan County at 5.1%, Ulster at 4.6%, Orange at 4.7%, Wayne at 5.7%, and Pike at 6.6%. All of that compares with the national unadjusted rate. These are seasonally unadjusted of 5.5%. So in general, in the New York counties, we're doing better, and in the Pennsylvania counties, we're doing worse. But in general, we are in the range of what's going on nationally. Not a lot worse, not a lot better.
And there was a time not too long ago where we were doing slightly worse than the national average, and the Pennsylvania counties were doing slightly worse than that. And there was also a time not too long ago that these numbers were almost twice what they are now, at least, you know, up around, you know, nine or so. So it's sounding like things are trending in a good direction.
Yes, we are coming back from the pandemic. We are doing well. The numbers we have fluctuated around the national average for years now. Sometimes they're a little lower, sometimes they're a little higher, but there have been no great departures that have lasted. So Wayne and Pike counties are also the smallest of the five here, and they probably have less of an employment base even than Sullivan County. Ulster and Orange counties are much larger, so their considerations are different, and weakness in some places there may be continuing because of local situations.
Less of a population employment base, and in some ways, like less, I guess you could say, less infrastructure, both physical and bureaucratic.
Yes, so we'll keep track of this. We'll keep noticing what's going on here and report if anything gets seriously off.
Okay. In terms of employment, nationally, a topic that we've been covering week to week here has been businesses getting workers, businesses in need for workers. We talked about unemployment numbers there. What about businesses getting workers? Where's that at?
Yes, now, what's getting all the attention right now is people in restaurant and other hospitality things, retail jobs such as cashiers and such. Otherwise, we're talking about other employment. It's really back. It's awfully close to what it was before the pandemic for, say, cubicle jobs of different kind. But we're reading about what's happening with these lower-level jobs, and we have a headline from something that came out yesterday, actually. It says, a record number of U.S. small businesses are raising wages, according to the NFIB, which is National Federation of Independent Business, but skilled workers still hard to find. So we have The continuing problem here, as I still see it, is businesses not paying enough. They raise pay a little bit here, and then they still don't get enough workers. It improves, but not quite enough. I'm seeing more businesses paying bonuses instead of paying higher hourly rates. Amazon, for example, is offering $3,000 sign-on for new warehouse workers and such. But it's clearly transparent to everyone involved here that the reason they're doing that is to avoid raising hourly wages. And the workers know it, and the rest of us know it, and a lot of people are holding back. Their businesses are just plain going to need to raise hourly rates to get restaurant workers and cashiers and such, and not so much with that, or McDonald's is offering more bonuses like education help and such, paying some school tuition under some circumstances. That kind of thing helps. It's positive, but there are a lot of people who just need the long green instead, and they're not getting it. A lot of people, I think, are just waiting until wages get even higher before they get back in these fields. And right now, they're really not enough.
I'm sorry, I couldn't turn my own mic on. I was trying to say, I mean, this is me. Obviously, I'm going to be a bit more subjective about it, but it I'd characterize this as almost quibbling, to be, hedging that much on whether or not to raise hourly wages, given the circumstances right now, given that we're coming out of circumstances where we learned how even these low-income workers are kind of crucial to the functioning of society while we're in the middle of a crisis, in the service industries, how much people rely on that for how they get their food and things like that. At the same time, I heard a report in the past week from NPR, and maybe we could talk more about this in detail, but I heard something along the lines, I don't have in front of me, of just how much more the cost of living is now than it was 40, 50 years ago. It seems like those two things are moving in different directions.
Yes, it is higher. We have a jump in inflation I can talk about otherwise. Some of it is misleading. Some of it has been around for a good while. And to some extent, it may be people who are working in restaurants are expecting to cover more expenses and such with the pay going on. They know the score with the shortage of workers. They know their value, and they're not really necessarily, they're often not being offered something close to that value. So they don't have the same kind of need right now yet to go back to work, because unemployment benefits, the expanded ones, have been ending. Some of them have goodly amounts of money, at least more money to keep living for a while. They can afford to wait for hourly wages. We have this idea that seems to go on that once you set wages, you can't really lower them, which I don't quite understand why that's true, although maybe people would perceive a temporary pay rate that's higher than the ones now as being similar to a bonus. I haven't seen that being tried. That would be a worthwhile thing to say, that they will pay $18 an hour for restaurant work for the next 3 months, and after that it will be $15. It could be higher depending on circumstances and such. I haven't seen anyone try that, but that would be a useful experiment, it seems, for companies that aren't getting the workers they need.
Are there, you mentioned the inflation rate there, are there other impacts that it's having on us?
Well, yes, we have higher prices. Prices are creeping up for such things as restaurant meals, and to some extent in stores. The cost of shipping things for various reasons has gone up. We can see that there are blank spaces on shelves, even in places like Walmart, who set the world standards at knowing what they need to order and ordering it. I'm sure you listeners know that when they run out of something at Walmart, you don't have a human walking up with a clipboard to the shelf saying, we're out. We need to order more. It's all very, very automated, and they know using the UPCs that people have bought all of something. But even still, in theory, they should about never run out of things. But if you see the blank spaces where merchandise used to be, you can tell that a lot of goods are just plain not coming in. And that can be similar problem to not having enough restaurant workers, where there just are not enough people to make them, there aren't enough people to deliver them, there aren't enough people to get them to the shelves, and that is causing higher prices sometimes when things are available, and we really all need to expect that.
You know, and I think the other thing of this whole period is brought to the attention of even just regular folks that don't usually look at the economy or think of supply chains. It's brought the concept of supply chains to folks, and that so many things are so interconnected that it could be like a missing on hand available resource might affect something, the creation of one item that would then go into a car, and then that impacts the prices of cars, for example. Like, there's so many variables out there and so many things that kind of get the squeeze, and that's also driving prices up, too.
That's right, and it's the weakest link for all these things. You're right. If you need one, if you need, say, a catalytic converter for a car, and there aren't enough catalytic converters being made, then that's going to delay the whole car, and even if everything else is doing fine. And that goes with any number of other parts. We've had this thing with a shortage of microchips, which has caused just that, where they may have no concept in the areas of making steel car bodies or making headlights or something. They may be doing just fine, but just they have no idea that other parts are causing cars to be delayed. All they can say is, it's not us. We'll keep doing what we're doing.
In a modern complex economy with all these moving pieces, with a globalized transportation, there's the ability, if somebody has the ability to get something for slightly less so they can make slightly more, a company's going to do that. Are there aspects of this complex globalized economy that are fragile enough to disruptions like a pandemic or other things like climate change? Are any economists or anybody starting to look at this and say, hey, maybe we have to change some assumptions of how we view the economy?
Yes, that's true. And it's causing problems right now. I've mentioned on previous segments that the just-in-time philosophy of ordering, in which you count on, and businesses count on suppliers to be able to deliver things on very short notice, allowing lower inventory carrying, that's causing a lot of problems here when it turns out they can't deliver things just in time. And instead of meaning they have to dig deeper into their warehouses or businesses that are selling things and cut down the amount of inventory they have, they don't have an inventory at all. So that's something that they have been paying for lately in unavailability.
Well, I appreciate you talking about all this with us today, and I appreciate you indulging me as I keep trying to get you off track. And we'll pick up some of this conversation again next week when we do Work Shift Live again. But it's always great talking to you, James B. Huntington. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, listeners.
And yes, James B. Huntington comes to us with Work Shift Live for the latest on jobs and the economy around here and around the country every Wednesday evening, right about this time. Come back next week. We'll do it again on the local edition.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit.
Okay, that is going to do it for the local edition. This is WJFF Jeffersonville, and we are online at WJFFradio.org. We're on your smartphone or your smart speaker. And you can always follow us on social media at WJFF Radio on Facebook and Instagram. On Twitter, we're at Radio Catskill. Coming up, we've got Let's Talk Vets, so you do want to stick around for that. It's coming right up.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Van Gorder's Furniture, featuring Lodge and Adirondack styles, as well as rustic collections. With showrooms at Lake Wallenpaupack, downtown